Open our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Last week, Pastor Hiroshi preached to us from the book of Luke, chapter 2, and I want to press the rewind button for just a little bit over the next 10 minutes and get a look at Luke, chapter 1, and we're going to read. I'll preach actually from most of the chapter, but in the interest of time, we're going to just read verses 39 through 46. I hope you can see the print there. I went with a Christmas red, but the text is in black, so apologies for that. Oh, are you okay here? Okay, so let's go ahead and read verses 39 to 46 together. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." That's wrong. Okay, where's verse 43? Oh, there it is. Okay. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And Mary says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Okay. I want to ask you to bear with me with the technical difficulties here. Oh, no, we'll just go here anyway, so it's okay. Yeah, that's good. Arigato. Thank you. Okay. Just want to speak briefly on some Christmas principles. It is December, if any of you have not noticed, and we've got the Christmas season upon us. Sometimes, in some years, it just kind of jumps on me. You don't expect it. And before you know it, it's December. The Christmas lights are on. The Christmas music is playing. The trees are up. And you're just like, oh, man, I got to go shopping. And I have to, do all this Christmas stuff. And sometimes it's fun, and sometimes it is not fun at all. But every year it comes. And so the temptation is to get lost in the whirl and the swirl and to lose focus. And so my advice is to, just as much as the busyness comes to you, get even busier in the Word of God. Devote yourself this season all the more to spending time with God in His Word, in prayer, and in fellowship. Just as much as you're spending time at Bonen Kai and Shinen Kai and Christmas banquets and plane rides and everything else. So, key Christmas principles that we can get from Luke chapter 1. In our reading, we looked at three characters that came into the scene. You probably noticed the words Zechariah, Elizabeth, and Mary. And we didn't read it, but earlier in the chapter of Luke chapter 1, it explains that Zechariah is a priest in the temple. He's a religious leader. And his wife was a woman named Elizabeth. They were older in their years. They were, what does it say there? In Luke chapter 1, verse 7. Let's go to verse 6. Verse 6, both of them, Zechariah and Elizabeth, were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. and they were both well along in years. These are two people who loved God and served Him with their life, and they were waiting. They were waiting and they were praying. They were old in their years. They had no children, which was a source of disgrace and a source of shame in their culture. And they just prayed. They were praying, and still God had not answered their prayer. But Christmas principle that we get out of Luke chapter 1 is this: prayer works. Prayer works. So we need to keep praying. We need to keep praying. As we read, in verse 13 of the chapter, an angel comes to Zechariah and says to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are going to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth." Christmas principle number one: keep praying. Don't stop praying. Don't give up on prayer. Don't give up on spending time with God, particularly in this season. I could just imagine Zechariah and Elizabeth, old in their age, waiting for God to answer their prayer, and just saying, "God, please, we know the story of Abraham and how you gave him a child when he was 100 and his wife was almost 90. We know the story of Hannah. When she cried out to you, she had no child, and yet she kept praying to you, and you gave her Samuel, and he became a wonderful prophet. We know the story of Naomi in the Old Testament, who was barren and lost all of... Well, not barren. She had a husband and sons, and she lost all of them, and her life was bitter, but her life did not end that way. You came through for her, God, and you gave her a grandson by the name of Boaz, the ancestor of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know these stories, and we're going to keep on praying and believing that you will hear our prayer. We're not going to give up on praying. And that is exactly what God did for them. He heard their prayer. He saw their faithfulness. It says, as I just read in verse 6, both of them were upright in the sight of God. They did not give up on praying to God, and they did not give up on God when they didn't get any answer from God throughout their life. I want to remind you and remind myself, if God is telling you to wait, I want you to wait. In Psalm, I think 37, towards the end it says, "Wait on the Lord. Be strong and take heart." And then it says it again: "Wait on the Lord." If you are waiting for God, for something from God, and you have yet to receive it, don't give up on waiting, and don't give up on praying to Him. I didn't put it up there. It says in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, God says that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayer. God is open to what you're asking from Him, and He hears your cries and your prayers, but He doesn't have to answer right away. In that same book, Peter says, God's timing is not our timing, and that's why we have to wait upon the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait upon the Lord. I have a son. He just turned 2 years old. And our rule in our house is English only. We're going to teach him as much English as he possibly can, because, you know, I can't provide everything for him. I can't give him all these great things, but I can give him English. That's one thing he can get from me. So I speak to him only in English. But you know, every now and again, he comes up with a word from nowhere. And one day we came home from church, and all he could say was "dako, dako," which means "carry me, pick me up" in Japanese. And I thought, I didn't teach him that word, and neither did Naomi. So he's getting words from all over the place. Probably, you know, his nichans and onechans from church, you know, teaching him "dako" and "nite" and "kore," "achi kochi." But I'm going to teach him only English. And there's three words that I've been very specific or very intentional about teaching my son. The first is yes. Okay. Do you want yogurt? And he'll say, yes, yogurt, yes. Or do you want strawberries? Strawberries, yes. Like that. The second one is no. Okay, I have to be very intentional about teaching him no. And we've got him to the point, at this point right now in his development, where if he wants something, you know, and he'll point to it, and I'll calmly, quietly, firmly, and just say no. And right now he understands what that means, and he'll give up on it. Sometimes he'll go to his mother and double check with her if it's no or not, but he understands yes and no. And the third word we're very intentional about teaching him is the word wait. Wait. He can't say wait. He can say yes and no, but he can't say wait, but he knows what it means. When he's trying to reach something, you know, and before it's time, and I'll say wait, and he'll put his hand down, or we're walking along and he'll, you know, let go of my hand. He wants to get ahead of me and where we're going, and I gotta say wait, and he'll stop and come back to me. Or another one is slow down. He's like his father. When he likes to eat, he doesn't eat, he inhales just the food, and I gotta tell him, like I tell myself, slow down, don't, you know, it's not a race. Okay, which is what they always told me growing up. But a key word for him is wait. And just like it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. Our Heavenly Father, in teaching us, when we're praying and crying out to Him and we want to get ahead and get something now, it's urgent, Lord, where are you? God is saying, wait on the Lord. Be strong, take heart, and wait on the Lord. And Lord, well, you can pray this prayer. If you're waiting on something and you're you feel so desperate and you feel like you just can't go another day, you can say, Lord, I know that you know the plans you have for me, plans to prosper me and give me a hope and a future. Lord, I stand on the promise that you know exactly what I need and that you will fulfill all my needs according to your great riches and mercy. Lord, I'm going to commit myself to waiting upon you. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to take heart, and I'm going to wait on you. And you can pray that prayer. And God says he hears, his ears are attentive to their prayer. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. He hears your prayer. So prayer works. Keep praying, just like Zechariah and Elizabeth. Christmas principle number two is keep around good people. The third character that we see in Luke chapter 1 was Mary. Mary, as you know, the mother of Christ our Lord, received the news that she's going to have a baby. She got pregnant, and a few, when she heard the news and she believed it, it says in verse 39, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. It says there in the text also that they are relatives. They were actually part of the family. So basically, Mary just went to her cousin's house. You know, this is a time in December where we are spending time with family, those of us who are able to, and we're spending time around people. We've got Bonenkais, and then if we can't get together at the Bonenkai, we have the Shinenkai. Both mean what? Good New Year, New Year's party. Bonenkai basically means what? Good year? Year end,
well,
right?
I think it means like get rid of the bad from this year.
Oh, right. All of that probably in one thing. And then, but all I know is if you can't get together at the Bonenkai, you can get together after the New Year. And do a Shinenkai, a literally New Year party. So if you can't make it to one, you're going to get to the other one. And most of us, you know, if we don't have one, we have more than one. We have two or three. And not only that, we're obligated to go, you know, and visit our family during the New Year's. For those of us who are Japanese, and New Year's is not a time in this country for New Year's parties and countdowns and all of that. New Year's in Japan, as most of the Japanese know, it's a quiet holiday. You go, and at midnight, you don't go and count down 3, 2, 1. You go to the temple. and you go 3, 2, 1, and dong, there's a big thing at midnight, and you just pray quietly as the snow, you know, gently falls to the ground. And that's how you spend New Year. And then you go home and watch Countdown TV, I think, with the fam, karaoke and all that. But it's a quiet time, but it's obligation time. You spend time where you have to meet certain people, whether it's your family or co-workers. You know, sometimes you like going to these things. Sometimes you do not like going to these things. For some of us, going home to family is more work than, you know, going to work every day. You know, you're going home and you've got, you know, all this craziness with that relative and these people, you know, picking on your nerves, and you're just like, ah! But Mary, she was intentional. She was very active. It says four verbs. She got ready. She hurried. She entered. She greeted. She didn't let the invitations come to her, but she got herself together and invited herself to be with people, with a person who carried the same gift that she did. There was a God in her, and the Holy Spirit was in her cousin, Elizabeth, and they were together in order to build each other up, to encourage each other in the faith. And the Spirit inside of Elizabeth, when they came into contact with the Spirit inside of Mary, they were both just bubbling up, and you read there that the baby was just kicking. Because there is a spirit of rejoicing and praise when we come together as a family of Christ. And it just stirs up the spirit within all of us. And so I want to encourage you this season, take some time to be around good people. I know that you're going to be obligated to you know, be around other people, whether it's work or family, but, you know, call up somebody, send an email, and be available to build each other up, to be built up, and spend time around the good, the right people this Christmas season. And what happens when we, you know, what happened when Mary and Elizabeth got together? They began to praise the Lord. They encouraged each other so much, the Spirit inside of them connected to such a degree that praise welled up in both of them, and they both praised God. And so Christmas principle number 3 is not only keep around good people, but also keep praising God. At the end of our reading, we read, Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Get those CDs out. Get the hymns back in there. I love that we sang, what was the song? "O Holy Night" today. We sang "O Holy Night," and that was the first time in my 10 years here at Mitaki that we've sung that in the Christmas service. I can't remember singing that ever. To me, it was a new Christmas song. I know the song, the melody, but that's verse 2. We didn't know that. As we sang, some of you know, we were singing verse 2 and we just completely got lost. But the Bible says, sing a new song unto the Lord. And so the psalmist says to himself, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you, why so downcast, O my soul? Why so depressed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him." The psalmist was telling himself, "Come on now, come on now, get up. Get this thing together. Put yourself together." He's telling himself. He has to encourage himself to keep going and to keep praising the Lord. "Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Turn it around." He wasn't waiting for God to come and turn him around. He was going to say, "No, I'm going to preach to myself and say, I'm going to turn this one around. And I will praise the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it." If it's a cloudy day, if it's a cold day, if nobody's talking to me, if my family doesn't care about me, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Keep praising the Lord. Keep the Christmas CDs going. Keep the words of God in your mouth, and let your soul glorify the Lord. Let your spirit rejoice in God, your Savior. Let's have a merry Christmas. Mary's Christmas was one where she kept with good people and she kept on praising God. And that is my encouragement and my admonition to all of us this Christmas season, is to keep on praising, keep on being around good people, and keep praying. Don't give up on God's promises for your life. Amen. Shall we all take a moment and reflect together? Would you pray with me? I would like you to think about just the next couple of weeks, this Christmas season. Think about those parties you're going to be going to. Think about the trips you'll be on. I want you to reflect on as much as you'll be together with family. I want you to see God in the midst of that time together. I want you to see Jesus just filling that house with His truth, His love, and His grace. I want you to see yourself filled with the Holy Spirit. Full of grace and patience. Just full of peace and joy. And see that God is working in your life in those situations. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for all that you've blessed us with. We had 40 minutes of testimonies and prayer time just reflecting on all that you have for us, your promises, your goodness, and all the answered prayers in our lives. And Lord, I just thank you so much. It filled me up and it just restored me in so many good ways. And I thank you so much for that. Father, I pray that as we're going to go off in our different directions, traveling back with our families spending time with coworkers at Bonankai's and New Year's parties, Christmas parties, Father, in the name of Jesus, lead us by your Holy Spirit, that we will be able to shine our light and glorify you, Lord, through our testimonies, through our actions, and through our words. Hallelujah, Lord God. Father, I pray for those of us here who are waiting and waiting upon you. Help us to be strong and to take heart and to wait upon you, to trust in your timing for us. Lord, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.